Do not eat this. If you do this, if you eat this fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, the day you eat thereof, you will die. Serpent came and said, did God tell you that you should not this? If you say, this is what we believe. He says, through his subtlety, he was smart. Smart. Through his subtlety, he told him, no, you will not surely die. God knows that you, if you eat it, you'll be like him to know all things. That is why. He preached another gospel. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, that gospel that he called it another Jesus is the seed. Is the seed that is planted in the church. But it is, William Branham preached a message he titled The Seed of Discrepancy. That is the seed of discrepancy that he planted. The seed of error that he planted. And every seed you plant, under the fine condition, it will grow. It will grow. The seed that Apostle Paul preached by the Holy Ghost, the seed that was planted was the seed of truth. Was planted. Apostle Paul set the church in order. In several ways, he set the church in order. Church, you have to understand this. My prayer, I've been praying all this while as we take this gospel. We preach this message once every year, about this time, every time like this. Believing that somebody will see that what we believe and preach here, which we call the ministry of restoration, you will understand. There cannot be restoration if there is no fall away. And if you are going to preach restoration, and you are going to believe restoration, and you are going to be a restored church, then there is going to be a lot of shedding. You have to shed off a lot of excesses. A lot of things that you have thought was Christianity before, you will discover is not Christianity. It's a seed of discrepancy. A lot of things that they portray to you. I was watching a man on the television this morning. I was saying, this may be an inter-message preacher. Until when they were scrolling, I saw his branch in Lagos. He's from Abeokuta. I said, it's a denomination. But that man is sincere. I picked my Bible because I was learning so many things from him. He was preaching and he mentioned something that he said there are different types of gospel. And the first one he mentioned, if I can remember them, he said there is Taiwan gospel. The second one, he said there is digital gospel. The third one was there is plastic gospel. I can remember, I just had him this morning. I think the fourth one, I've forgotten what the fourth one is. He described it. That is Taiwan. We know what Taiwan is. Fake. There is fake gospel. Then digital. That is the gospel of easy. Easy. Chop. That the ones that come in the morning, 7 o'clock, by 11 o'clock, they have had 3 services. Chop. Digital age. And plastic, you mix a lot of things to produce that plastic material. Am I correct? There is mix this. That man preached it hard. I said, so we are not the only ones. That's the truth. Hallelujah. And that is it. They are all planted seeds that the enemy planted. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's read on. It speaks about another gospel being preached. Verse 13. Allow us just rush to verse 13. He was describing those. I want you to understand what happened in the Garden of Eden. Now verse 13, he said, for such, the people that preach that another Jesus, he said, for such are false prophets. Please listen, church. In the New Testament, anytime you hear of false prophets, it's not people who see vision, no. It's talking about teachers of the word. Anybody that says he's a prophet is telling you, thus saith the Lord. He sees vision and says, the Lord said I should tell you, he's hearing a voice. Now, there are prophets that see vision and hear voice. There are prophets that read the Bible and interpret it. So, you can understand. The one that sees vision, if he tells you, you will marry next month, and 1 year pass, you don't marry, you know that he is false. Am I correct? Now, the same thing also, another prophet, if he reads the Bible and gives a wrong interpretation, he is also a false prophet. So that is what Apostle Paul is saying here. The Apostle Paul is saying, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, that is where I'm going. He said, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. That lets you know that Satan has his ministers. The minister of Satan in the Garden of Eden was who? Are we together? Who was he? The serpent was the minister of Satan. It was Satan that was inspiring him to do what he was doing. The Church of Jesus Christ also has the ministers of Satan that transform themselves into angel of light. That's why Apostle Paul says we are not unaware of the devices of the enemy. This morning, this night in our program here, this night, I was telling the gifted people, we have to bring back our program for the gifted brethren because many of them are going off again. That's the truth. I was telling them how to identify and operate these gifts. The first thing in a church like this where the gift is freely allowed to operate, Satan will smuggle in. He will smuggle in. And I was telling them, and I'm telling you now, be sincere with yourself. First, if you want God to use you, God uses you because you are a channel. As God is interested in that channel, Satan is also interested in that channel. You are hearing a voice, thus said the Lord. Satan too can come again and impersonate the voice you have been hearing. And you'll be hearing a voice telling you, tell them this or go and do this. You must be sincere enough to know when a wrong spirit has come in. But so many gifted people, you get so self-conscious. The Bible says, he who thinks he stands, he said, take heed lest you fall. Nobody is above temptation by Satan. Nobody. Be sincere with yourself. We are back to original Christianity. Original way of operating the gift of the Holy Ghost. Don't allow the devil to take over that vessel. When the unction comes upon you, and there is no time to give, there's nothing you can do. If it's a message, he will give another person at the right time. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I said so many things in the night concerning the gifts. I also said about how to identify manipulating gifts. If somebody gives you a promise to do something and you don't do it, and he comes and finds out you have not done it and gets angry with you, it was not thus said the Lord. It was thus that said that person. He's using his gift to manipulate you. Thus said the Lord, go and do this. You have given your message, you go now. I also made a statement in the night. I said, a true prophet of God does not argue over his revelation. happen, he leaves you. If you say, "Na lie, did you hear you talk? Na devil talk. Na this one talk." He go say, "Eh, na devil talk. Say, eh, pray for me." Remember Jeremiah and Ananias? Jeremiah prophesied 70 years captivity. Ananias came and said, "Na 2 years." Huh? Jeremiah said, "Amen. Ah, me to a dev among if the thing reduced to 2 years, finish. Me, I had the 70 years. You say you're under 2 years. So praise God." And Jeremiah said, "Amen." And as he was going, Paul said the Lord came again upon him. Prophet, jam prophet. But you don't argue and fuse over it. It's the devil. There are ministers of Satan. That's what Apostle Paul is saying here. In the church. There are so many things to know about what is happening that has made the church of Jesus Christ be in the condition that it is. And it's in the Bible. Pastor Thomas referred to that parable in Matthew 13. Can we read it? During the Sunday school. It's a parable. And there are 7 parables in Matthew 13. And there are 7 conditions that the church of Jesus Christ will go through. A history of the church in advance. And he portrayed a picture of the church from verse 24. Matthew 13. Verse 24. And let me read it. He said, "Another parable put ye forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. From what I have spoken, you know which field it is, and you now know what is the good seed. But while men slept," hallelujah, "while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the household that came and said unto him, Sir, did not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then had the tares? He said unto them, An enemy has done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them all? What did he say? Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them." And verse 30 is important. "Let both grow together until when?" Brethren, this is the time for the harvest. "Until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers," somebody shout the reapers. "Hey. I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn." Verse 30 alone is 2 hours sermon. Brethren, the mystery of salvation is interesting. First and foremost, hallelujah. Okay, let's see the interpretation. Hallelujah. Verse 36. Let's see the interpretation that the Lord Jesus Christ gave. Verse 36. "Then Jesus sent the multitude away." Can you see again? Can you see again? I read it in Mark chapter 4 last week. He spoke generally a parable, everybody, wheat and tares. Then he sent them away. Hey. "He sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field." It means the multitude that went out there, they did not get the interpretation of that parable. Am I correct? But they were in that revival. They were the ones giving testimony of mighty healings and deliverance. But when he came to the teaching side of that gospel, he spoke to them in parables. And Mark chapter 4 tells us the reason why he speaks in parables. We saw that last week. Praise the Lord. Now, he answered and said unto them, verse 37, "He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man." Who is the Son of Man? Jesus Christ is the one that sowed the good seed. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. So the wicked one has his own children through the seed that he also planted. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom. It will be out of his kingdom he will gather them all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous shall shine forth. The righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who had ears to hear, let him hear. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Apostle Paul brought it out again in Acts chapter 20. Let's read it. Acts chapter 20. That valedictory speech that he gave to the church. I think that church was the Ephesian church. He was addressing the elders. And this is what he said. Hallelujah. Verse 26. Let me read it from verse 26. Acts chapter 20. He said, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shown to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, he was telling the elders. Therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. Verse 29. For I know this, that after my departure shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own self shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with what? Tears. He was a prophet. He saw what will happen. The parable says, the owner of the farm planted good seed and left. He said, while men slept, the men that slept there, that is, the enemy waited until men slept. It means if the men were awake, he would not have been able to plant the seed. Do you think Adam was there when the serpent was planting his seed on Eve? Of course, we understand it better now. The men referred to there are the disciples, the first church age contenders of the faith. Apostle Paul was saying, "Say, I have planted." There was something he planted. He said, another Apollos with water. There was the first church age was the planting age. That is why we have the New Testament today, that gave us the church order, that gave us the doctrines, that gave us all this. It was the planting stage of the church, because the church was to go through the seven church ages. The planting stage was when they were planting the seed, the unadulterated seed of the word of God. They were planting it there. But the devil waited until those first set of firebrand preachers, they died. Then, and we looked at the seven church ages, you saw when they began to do it. If you read the church history. And by the time we reached the 15th century, from 14th century, 15th century, it was total dark ages. But whatever it is, the thing there is, Satan began to sow his own false doctrines in the church. Now, then all of a sudden, the Bible says, the servants of the householder, now, as the blood grew up, as what was planted began to manifest, as the church of Jesus Christ began to spring up. The servants now came and said, they began to see tares also in that same farm. The church of Jesus Christ, that liars could not stand and hold microphone. And Ananias and Sapphira, they gave a false testimony. You know the story. They packed their dead body. The Bible says fear came upon the church. Sinners were afraid to just enter church and sit down. If you're a member of the church and you commit, you'll be afraid to come to church. You will sit at home there. Fear. Because you know if you come, the Holy Ghost will expose you. But now, all of a sudden, what happened? As time went on, they started seeing all manner of things in the church. Brethren, you and I know the condition of the church now. Fornicators are pastoring churches. That's the truth. All manner of things now exist in the church. I've even seen pastors that have, they are married, they have girlfriends. Some even marry 2-3 wives when the Bible forbids it. This says now, it means nothing. Despite what the Bible says, for a man of God to divorce his wife and marry another one. And he celebrated in the church of Jesus Christ. It wasn't so in the beginning. That is not the picture of the church. Take it on and on. The first church age did not have women pastors. But as time went on, they began to anoint and ordain women pastors. Women now stand and give instruction of righteousness to men. And his angels are saying, some are saying, what is this? You planted good seed. Where did these tares come from? The Lord Jesus Christ said, an enemy has done this. Praise the Lord. An enemy, brethren. And the enemy, he mentioned it clearly there, is the devil. It's the devil. It's the devil. Then you understand 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verses 1 and 2. That scripture says, in the latter times, he said, many shall depart from the faith, giving heed to what? Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Who has a seducing spirit? What did he call a seducing spirit? You see, a man seducing a woman. A serpent seduced Eve. It's true. What? That is to make the woman to be defiled, to live untrue to her husband. To seduce you is to take you away from what, where you're supposed to be. Your allegiance, where you're supposed to be. Seducing you, taking you away from the word of God. And in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, if you are writing it down, it spoke about men that crept in. Hallelujah. Let's read it. 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2. Let me read it from verse 1. It said, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. False teachers here is the church of Jesus Christ. It did not start with false teachers. Now there are false teachers, ministers of Satan. Brethren, there are ministers of Satan holding microphone in churches. He said, who prevalently shall bring in damnable heresies? A damnable heresy is a heresy, a false doctrine that will lead you to damnation. There are revelations that if you hold on to, it will lead you to hell. That's why I call it damnable heresy. And brethren, there are more preachers today in the church of Jesus Christ preaching these damnable heresies than you have the true preachers. Because they are always louder in a farm. If you plant your seed, If you don't take time, if you don't go and weed the grass away, if you wait small, the grass will overtake the wheat there. Am I correct? They grow very fast. They walk very fast. Hallelujah. Damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And verse 2 says, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. You know, Christianity has no respect now. There are places I go that I don't introduce myself as pastor. And then sometimes when they discover it, I say, somebody say you be pastor. I say, I be pastor, not true. And then why you not tell us? I say, if I tell you I be pastor now, I don't know what you go think of me. That's the truth. You reach police checkpoint now. I be pastor. You go say, pastor, back. What do you get for us? Why? If you're a pastor, you must be wealthy. If you're a pastor, you must be wealthy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The way of truth is evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. Whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. And in Jude verses 3 to 4, he spoke about men also that crept into the church unawares. Jude verse 3 to 4, where he said we should earnestly contend for the faith. Why? Because some men, he said, they have been ordained to this damnation, have crept in unawares, without people knowing. They have crept into the church and taken over the church of Jesus Christ. And in Colossians chapter 2 verse 8 to 10, he said, he mentioned, so that I want you to understand this ministry of the serpent. He said, beware lest any man spoil you through vain philosophy. The vain philosophy there are messages that are preached supposedly today in the churches today. They are nothing other than philosophy. Philosophy. I was listening to that man that was preaching this morning from Abeokuta. And he mentioned, he said, there is a doctrine that is going around now that is advertised every minute on television that says the minister that organizing the program said he's bringing out the giant in you. He said that is contrary to the Bible. He said because the Bible says that Christ will increase and I will decrease. He said, which giant do you want to bring out? When Christ came to deal with the giant in you, somebody is saying he's coming with anointing to bring out the giant in you. That is a serpent speaking. Philosophy. The rest millionaires. 100 and 200 ways to make money in the church. Business now is seminar on financial empowerment. Look, leave the professors of economics in the universities to do their own while we are here. Look, I agree with that man I listened to today. He said, you never get rich through any seminar. He said, to make wealth is to receive the Holy Ghost. I agree with him. I wrote his phone number. That man is my brother. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's simple, it's easy to know the difference between the tares and the wheat. They are planted in the church for a reason. Brethren, all that Satan wanted to achieve, like he achieved in the ministry, in the Garden of Eden, was inject his own seed of false or error into the church, so that by the time, you know what, error will have mixed with truth in such a way that error will take over. And at the end, he now can, through that spirit of error, walk himself into the church. And remember, his whole ambition is to have himself to be worshipped. And there are people that are worshipping Satan today, and they think they are worshipping the Lord Jesus Christ. And now Satan can go in there, and iniquity must abound. The only place now that small life can be there should be the church. But he has taken over the church. All manner of things you see outside there, they are in the world, they are in the church now. He has taken over. I was watching an advert today of a church that is going to do a program in Abuja concerning youth. Among the things they did, maybe last year they are showing, is fashion parade in the church. They were coming one by one, they come. So panel of judges are there. Church doing fashion show, beauty contest in the church. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. John, amen. John said it in 1 John chapter 4. He called, if you read it from verse 1 to verse 6, he said, test all spirits whether they are of God. He said, for, hallelujah, it's an antichrist spirit that has gone out into the world. And he knows what he's doing. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. He's out there to quench the light of the gospel. And you know what he's doing to quench that light. The difference, brethren, between the tares and the wheat, and we close on that, is simple. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you read Romans chapter 10, there's a statement that Apostle Paul said there concerning the Jews. Concerning the Jews. He looked at them. I said the truth from verse 1. Romans. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, brethren, chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. We're bringing it to the church. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. When you talk about zeal, these people that are in these denominations, you know you don't have half of their zeal. Have you seen Celeb undergone fasting? They are prophets like this, all their belly don't go down. What happened? It's zeal for God. Go to the street, go everywhere. Zeal for God. See their members, the money they bring out. Millions of naira every month to be on television. Their members, zeal for God. And Apostle Paul looked at them and said, they're not doing it according to knowledge. Why? It's not given unto them to have that knowledge. We have two groups of people, the bride of Jesus Christ and the concubine of Jesus Christ. We have two groups of people in the Garden of Eden, Cain and Abel. Cain came with his sacrifice. The two of them came with sacrifice. You have to catch it from this point. Cain and Abel came with a sacrifice to God. One was accepted, the other one was not accepted. But they all came with a zeal to serve God. But one did his own sacrifice acceptably. The other one, his own, was not an acceptable sacrifice. Why? Not because he was serpent seed, but because he didn't do it according to revelation. And the truth is, there is nothing in him to receive the true revelation of how to serve God. Because he's an animal. Who told Abel that for their sin to be atoned, that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission? Who told him? By revelation. And now, it is simple now. At least you saw that this one's own was accepted. Now, do it also. Now, God said, if you do it like him, I will accept it now. But there is nothing in him to understand what God is saying. Why? It's an animal. It didn't come from God. It's not a human being. It's not a seed of God. So that, why? Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Today, people are serving God, and somebody is telling them you can come to God anyhow. The Bible says, without holiness, no man will see God. How many churches speak about any righteous living anymore? Go to the churches today, and see the way their women dress. Even their men dress. You have not seen churches where men sit down with earring. You don't see where they do all these funny things with their head and they sit down. They are men. You don't see where men wear short knickers if they are going on a trot or somewhere and come and sit down in the church. Men. You've not seen where thieves, robbers, 419, drug pushers, sitting down there in the church, the pastor knows the businesses they are doing, and he's blessing them and praying for them, and coming to our microphone that heaven is prepared for them. And they are saying, "Right on, pastor. Let me take an offering. This thing, this man talk. You go and drop it. Right on, pastor. I love this man." There's a mystery to it. Because the man preaching that is anointed. And the anointing on him is not the anointing of the devil. I will let you know later. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. They have no revelation of true holiness. True holiness. I looked at the congregation of that man that was preaching on television. As they were showing, I saw all their women, their hair was covered up. I didn't see one single woman there with a ring. Oh, I'm going far to Ogun State. Choose it here. If you reach bus stop there, if I reach bus stop there, I can know among the women going, this one are choosing to go, this one are bride to go. Hey, bride assembly, can we come home? It's true. Sitting down in a church like this here, upon all we have been saying here, that Christian women don't wear earring. After I finish this serpent seed, I will prove in the scripture why a Christian woman, and why the Christian woman cannot wear earring. I will prove it. Don't worry. Continue to wear it till that time. But I'm telling you something. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm telling you something. The reason is simple. The reason is simple. The mystery of iniquity. There is a man somewhere in another church, a very big church, full of charisma, full of English, full of all that he needs. He's on television every day, full of anointing. And he said, no. The Greek one said like this, and the Hebrew one said like this. And now the English, when you jam the Greek plus English minus, this is what it means. You can wear your trousers, it doesn't matter. And the sister, he said, why will a woman like to dress like a man? That's one thing I say. Whether you're a Christian or not, there is man, there is woman. And there is a dress for a woman. Because the physical features of a woman dictate the type of dress you will wear. A man does not need to wear a dress that is wide by the chest. A man can wear tight shirt, borrow anybody's junior brother's shirt and wear. It doesn't matter. But a woman cannot, because it will not be able to button. There is specific. Now, I keep saying it. You know, last Wednesday I was telling the women, why will a Christian woman? It's very painful to true preachers. And the truth is, some of them are genuine children of God to help you understand. When the servants of the householder said, should we uproot it? What did he say? He said, leave them both to grow together until the harvest time. Why? He said, because in the course of uprooting the tares, you may end up uprooting the wheat also. Why? Because the wheat and tares have grown together, and some of the wheat have taken influence from the tares. There are two genuine children of God, predestinated seed of God, with their names written in the book of life. But out of ignorance, carelessness, whatever it is, they are following this tares because they are deceived by the anointing. And before you know what, they are acting like that. A true daughter of God, like the story of the chicken with the egg, the egg of the eagle. See, it hatched among chicken eggs. So it's because he grew up among chickens, he's thinking that he's a chicken. But he's an eagle. An eagle is an eagle. An eagle is an eagle. When they say, they do those, their worldly things, you will say, the Bible said, they will say, come on, do you know more than our chio? You say, not true. Make her follow them, they speak in tongues. They say, speak in tongues, the evidence of the Holy Ghost. But smarter, you go stand, laugh at yourself. Okay, wait till they talk now. But they say it, brother, say it for edification. As you say it, you'll be empowering yourself. So you two go there, meanwhile, you know you don't say anything. Why? You are picking influence from the tares. There are sisters here, genuine children of God. But the serpent has blinded you with the doctrine of it doesn't matter. It's wrong. A woman must dress like a woman. I was telling people the other day, and they laugh, and not true. I heard another mystery that a woman pregnant, if it is a baby boy, that Satan can go, witches can go and change it to baby girl. He said, have you heard of it before? I've heard of it. And when I heard of it, I said, oh, it made me understand the mystery. Because I was wondering, why will a woman want to dress like a man? The truth is, he was a man in the womb of his mother. Then they change him to a woman. So that man thing is still in him. That make her dress like that. Okay, what else can be the explanation? You are a woman. Dress like a woman. Don't dress like a man. Don't act like a man. Don't talk like a man. Don't take the position of a man. Stay where a woman should stay. Leave the man to do what a man should do. The world says what a man can do, a woman can do. And even they say even better. That is out there in the world. It's true. Women can do a lot of things better than men out there in the world. But when it comes to church, it is not your ability, it is a commandment we are following. It's a commandment. We are following the law, we belong to a kingdom, we have our culture. You yourself, you know, in your village, when men sit down to take decision, women, they sit down there. Even culture will teach you some of these things. As I'm closing, the same thing also You don't know that the Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. Obey the word of God. You jump up. And God call me. God call you to do what? To be pastor. God will never call a woman to be a pastor because that would be contrary to his word. But God can call into some other areas, but certainly not in the leadership office of the church. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's why even in this church I keep saying it. The office of a prophet belongs only to the man. A woman cannot answer prophetess. Prophetess singles. Prophetess Amarachi. Prophetess. That's denominationalism. You are Sister Amarachi. But you are gifted. And you will use the gift, not with a title attached to your name as prophetess. I've been saying this, they have refused to drop it. But whether you drop it or not, the spirit that is leading you to bear that title is a serpent that spoke and you believed it. It's nothing like the fivefold ministry in Ephesians chapter 4 is for men. That cannot be prophetess. This one, prophetess this. You are sister. Can I call them Sister Gift? Sister Marachi? Sister Uju? Sister who again? Sister Nkechi? Sister who? Call their name. Sister. But they are gifted. Gifted with the word of knowledge. God revealed things to them and they must be allowed to operate. Praise the Lord. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Hallelujah. Not only that, revelation of the Godhead. They are serving a God they don't even know. Why? They have no revelation. They say God is three persons in one. God can never be three persons in one. God is one. From Genesis to Revelation, he has revealed himself as one. The doctrine of Trinity started in the 15th century. For your information, it was not in the first church age. Through that Nicene Council meeting in AD, in the 5th century, sorry, AD 520, in the 5th century, that's when that nonsense crept into the church. Justification. Do they know the true doctrine for? All the things that pertain to salvation, I don't want to waste time. Praise the Lord. Because our time is up. But I'm telling you, hallelujah. You that you are sitting down here, you have the privilege to hear certain things. But one thing I know is, you are not here by accident. These things we say here is the same thing that God came to Adam and Eve and preached to them. And still left them to choose which one they like to follow. I have done my own part. I've tried in this church and all the ministers and pastors in this church. They've tried by all means. And please don't think that if the only one I will not be able, my grace never reached that age, that stage, is anyhow you dress and come to me, I will minister to you with the whole of my heart. The only one my grace never reach is one, if you wear trousers and come to me. Because I'll be afraid, I'll think you want to fight me. And secondly, if you dress and expose your part, I'll see you as an agent sent. In fact, to start with, because of the way you dress, I will never be in the spirit. When I went and turned to the spirit, the thing got caught. Because of waiting, they stand before me. Shall we stand up? But this is a message that you don't hear anywhere, anyhow. And we must establish the people. This is what Apostle Peter called the present truth. Praise the Lord. We will look at the separation, the process of separation, the process of separation. Next sermon. The process of separating the wheat from the tares. He called them angels, he called them reapers. We shall look at it. Then you'll understand the spirit of delusion. You will also understand other things that God uses to separate the bride from the concubine, the true seed from the false seed. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Can we open our hymn book and take a song to close this?